You're listening to the Unveiling Mormonism podcast from PursueGod.org. Join us every Monday as we pull back the curtain on Mormon history, culture, and doctrine. Find more resources to continue the conversation at PursueGod.org/Mormonism. Okay, Bo, Katie, we're in week number two of our unboxing series. Today's question, okay, last week we did a great question. How good is good enough in Mormonism? And today we're going to ask another, I don't know, like hot topic question for Mormons. And here it is. Is there only one true church? Maybe more specifically, we should ask it like this. Is the Mormon church the one true church? And Bo, put on your seminary teacher hat. How would you have answered that, you know, 15 years ago with your students?
I mean, yeah, that's an emphatic yes. There is one true church. And what I would have told to my seminary students, what I said on my mission, what I wrote in my mission journal every day is that the church is true, right? So I would have said, in fact, I said this to all of my seminary students as they walked out the door. I would say, hey, life is great. The church is true. I'm a child of God and so are you, right? So I would just say like, yeah, the church is the true church. And when I say the true church, I mean exactly what Joseph Smith said it was, which he said that it's the only true and living church on the face of the earth.
All right. So every Mormon or former Mormon listening to this would say, I heard that, I mean, weekly? Yeah. I mean, wasn't this like part of—
Every week.
Part of your— talk us through that just real quick before we get into a biblical answer to this. Wasn't that something that you would hear, you know, when you're going to church on Sunday with mom and dad, aren't they going to encourage the kids to share their testimony? And isn't that like part of your testimony?
Oh, totally. I mean, I've been saying the church is true since I could talk, really. Like if you think about it, like every Fast and Testimony meeting, people get up there and the first thing out of their mouth, what would you say 90% of the time? Is I know the church is true, right?
I love my family.
Yeah, I love my mom and dad, and I know the church is true. I mean, that's a kid's testimony, but I mean, the adults, everybody says the same thing. Before you confess your faith in Jesus, before you confess your faith in anything,
wow,
you're confessing your belief and or knowledge that the church is true. So almost the first thing out of your mouth is, I know the church is true. So it's ingrained in you as you're growing up that there's only one true church. And if it's not this one, there's no truth. Like there's no other option, right? It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the one and only true church on the face of the earth. Full stop, nothing else, right?
And that's why, isn't it true that that's why so many people your age who are leaving Mormonism in Utah and probably outside of Utah, but definitely in Utah, they're doing it in droves, yet they're not— your story is fairly unique, even though we're seeing a lot of people come into Alpine Church, which is really cool. But would you guys say that the majority of the people that you know that are leaving the Mormon church are just saying it's all a bunch of baloney?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? So we talk to a lot of people right now that are coming out of Mormonism. And what we find often is there's kind of two extremes right now as people are leaving the Mormon church. One, they feel lied to, betrayed, and they just throw everything out. They basically say, all right, if this isn't true, nothing's true, there is no God, and they go kind of full atheist. I guess maybe there's three camps. The other camp would be that they're kind of just agnostic. They're like, look, I really have no idea if there is or isn't a God. I don't want to worry myself with it because I just spent 30 years in bondage to this religion. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. And they're almost too nervous to like seek out God because they really don't want to be deceived again. And so those are kind of the two camps. I guess the third and the kind of the one that obviously has been really interesting and really, you know, KD and I fall in this camp is leaving the Mormon church. And it's like you're trying to figure out what's true. You're trying to find God. And when they experience Jesus for the first time, when they experience the biblical Jesus, they just come alive. And that's been fun. So I guess, yeah, maybe two or three camps of people right now as they're leaving the Mormon church.
What does it do to you if you hear that from a young age, not just from, you know, not just from your bishop, not just from your parents, but you're hearing it then. I mean, am I right about this? You're hearing it from all of your friends on a monthly basis. Is that probably accurate? You're hearing it from at least most of your friends that I believe the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the one true church. What does that do to you as a five-year-old, as an eight-year-old, hearing that from everybody in your community?
I mean, yeah, especially from a really young age, you believe it. Everyone you look up to, everyone you respect, and everyone you want to emulate is saying this, and you want to be just like them. So yeah, you believe it.
No, but does anybody ever question it? Does anybody ever say, well, come on, guys, that sounds a little exclusivistic to say something like that. What about my Baptist friends over here? Yeah. what about my good friends over at Alpine Church? I mean, does anybody challenge? Did you ever hear anybody challenge that?
Sure. In youth groups and stuff, there were kids that would kind of challenge that a little bit. I think those were often the kids that would stop coming to church in their teen years, right? Kind of the ones where I always thought they were falling away from the church. It could have been that they were finding Jesus. I don't know, because I was busy judging those people for not believing that this was the one true church. So to your point, yeah, there were, but and I wouldn't say that they were maybe purposefully shunned, although here I am saying I was judging those people. I think I probably unfortunately shunned those people, at least somewhat, because they didn't, you know, believe the church was true. Now, obviously I would try to reach out to those people. I would try to help convince them that the church was true. But yeah, to your point, not very often are people questioning it, but the ones that were kind of viewed as, would you say, the black sheep?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I think if you're saying that in your mutual group, it's a little bit like, oh, you haven't gained a testimony yet. You know, you should read the Book of Mormon and pray about it. Come pray with us, come do Book of Mormon study, you know, things like that. And then if someone ever did say, well, what about, you know, I've heard that this church teaches this and that kind of aligns with what we believe. And so sometimes I would hear people say, well, yeah, every religion has a little bit of truth in it, but we have the restored truth. We have the fullness of the truth.
So, yeah. So nowadays, I think Mormons are trying to really look like another denomination, right? I mean, you guys left the church less than 2 years ago. Were they saying stuff like that at the church level, that we're another denomination? Or is that like, were they saying that kind of stuff to the insiders, to the Mormons? Or is that just something that they're saying to outsiders?
Yeah, I think it's more of a marketing thing right now for the church to kind of refer to themselves as a non-Trinitarian denomination of Christianity. Mm. You're not going to hear that from its members. What's taught over the pulpit, what's said, you know, in fast and testimony meetings, what's said in church gospel doctrine, is that this is the one and only true church on the face of the earth. That's what's going to be said every single month in every Mormon ward across the world, really.
Okay, so internal marketing is still, we're the one true church, but the external marketing to non-Mormons is, no, we're just another denomination. So then at some point, if the Baptist falls for it, and then at some point they're going to hear it like that on the inside, that, well, actually, no, we're the only one. We're really the only true church. Like all the other denominations don't have I don't know what word you'd use, like the fullness or the...
That is the word. Yeah, that's okay. The word. And the reason that Mormons have that claim is because they have a prophet on the earth today,
right?
As well as obviously the prophet of the restoration. So they have what they would claim to be modern revelation, where God is speaking currently through a prophet today. And I know we're going to be covering, does God speak through prophets next week? So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's obviously why they make the claim of the fullness. It's not just the Bible, right? They have this other scripture, other revelation from God that provides what they would consider to be additional clarity and insight from God about his plan for his children.
Now, Katie, you mentioned testimony, and I've Okay, so when we first moved to Utah 25 years ago, we had Mormon missionaries coming over. And many, many times in the course of meeting with those sister missionaries, we got them to, we didn't realize this at the time, but we asked enough questions that I think they didn't know how to answer our questions. And so they would, I think this is what they called it, they would bear their testimony. They would say something like this, see if I have it right. I believe that Joseph Smith is the true prophet of God or something like that. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the one true church. Is that right? In maybe I had the order wrong, but is that basically what bearing your testimony is?
Yeah, I think that I would call that like your default setting where you're kind of pushed to the point where you can't answer, you know, the questions. And so you default back to what you've been taught since you were young, that, you know, the church is true and what this is what I believe. And I know it's true because I've had, you know, personal revelation through, I felt the Holy Spirit confirm this to me. And yeah, I think it's very different for Christians. And I am just sort of realizing this, but yeah, testimony for a Mormon is almost like a memorized, rote memorization statement.
And look, it's interesting, and it's focused on the prophet, and it's focused on the church, and then maybe for kids, like you guys said, your family. So prophet, church, family. If you asked me to share my we wouldn't say bear my testimony, but if you would ask me to, hey, would you share your testimony this week at youth group? Every kid that got up there is going to talk about Jesus and when they responded in faith to Jesus. That's the testimony, by the way, for Christians. And I think it's really interesting that the testimony from a Mormon is about a prophet, a church, and maybe their family. It's not about Jesus. And that's why I think this question is so important for maybe people on the fence who are they're in Mormonism, but they're maybe not sure what they believe about it all. I think it's so important for them to understand the biblical answer to this question.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting talking about there being one true church, because I taught this on my mission. I taught it in seminary. You know, I'm the one that said, hey, the church is true every day to my seminary students as they walked out. I think it's important that we understand what we're talking about when we say true church. Like, what do we mean? Like, when we say, okay, is there one true church? Like, we probably need to define that. And gain an understanding so that we can actually answer that question. Because I think Mormons view it a very specific way, right? That there is one organization or institution on the earth that's the only way or that is the only truth, basically, is what Mormons believe, right? Like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only truth on the earth that's going to get you to heaven, essentially. Right. Or to the highest degree of heaven.
Yeah. Which again comes from the claim. This really is dovetailing into next week's topic about does God still speak through prophets? It comes from the claim that, you know, that God was restoring the church to young Joseph Smith. And, you know, again, if for those who are listening to this, and if you haven't checked out some of our other episodes on this podcast, we've covered that so much about his claims and all that stuff. So we won't dive into that right now. But I think a good way, Bo, to your point, to answer what the church is to answer what it isn't. So number one, it's not an organization. Like you said, we're not talking about an organization here. It's not a denomination. We're not talking about a denomination. Our answer today is not going to be the Baptists are right, or the non-denoms are right, or Alpine Church is right, our church, the church that I pastor that you guys go to. That's not going to be the answer, because the church isn't a denomination or an organization, and the church isn't a building. You know, in our language, a lot of times, I don't know if this is true for Mormons, but we would say, hey, let's meet at the church tonight. Now, that's fine, because that's just kind of lingo that we use, but technically, that's inaccurate to say that, because according to the Bible, the church is not a building. It would be more accurate to say, let's meet at the church building, but we just tend to shorten it. The church isn't a building. It's not an organization. It's not a denomination. The biblical word, the Greek word for this is ekklesia. And literally the word ekklesia, when you see the word church in the book of Acts, for example, which is the story of the birth of the church, It's the assembly of the called out ones. You know, the church started as a, I like to call it a Bible study within Judaism, right? Because, and for those who want to read more about this, the beginnings of this, Jesus died, he rises from the dead, and then he commissions his disciples to basically start the church, to start this movement that at first was a movement within Judaism, until they kind of got kicked out of Judaism because the leaders in Judaism didn't agree with their focus on Jesus and their idea that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God, all the things that we learn in the Gospels. And so at a certain point, the church became its own group, like a separate, I wouldn't even call it organization. I would say a separate movement where the disciples were the leaders of the movement. Again, read the book of Acts. We're going to be on the Truth Podcast. We're going to be spending a lot of time going through the entire book of Acts. So I encourage people to tune in for that series because we're going to talk about how this whole thing started. We're going to talk about this very thing quite a bit. But that's what the church is. It's the ecclesia. It's the assembly of called out ones, meaning you're called out from the world and you're chosen by God. You're saved by grace. You're put on mission to help more. It's not supposed to be like an exclusive calling, like a country club or something. It's about you're called out and set apart for a mission. Jesus said, "You're my disciples, go make disciples." So this is supposed to be very inclusive, not in a modern sense of the word. We won't even get into that, but just it's supposed to be inclusive in the sense that it's not about Jew or Gentile or tall people or short people or the whatever color skin you have. It is for anyone who would respond to the simple message of the gospel. That's the easiest way to say it. So you guys are part of the church, not because you go to Alpine Church, not even because you were baptized at Alpine Church. You're a part of the church in the same way that I'm a part of the church because you responded to the gospel message and you received Christ as your Savior. So to answer the question, is there only one true church? I'm going to answer it in two ways, guys. First of all, I'm going to say no in the Mormon sense, in the sense that there's only one institution or even denomination that gets it right. The answer is no. There's not, the Mormons aren't right. The Southern Baptists aren't the only ones right. The Presbyterians aren't the only ones right. So in one sense, the answer is no. But is there one true church? In another sense, the answer is yes, in the, what I'm going to call the capital C sense, capital C church. When you think of the church as the global community of true believers in the basic Bible message that is centered on the person and work of Jesus, then I would say yes. And it's not just, by the way, it's not just restricted to today. So the church, that definition spans 2,000 years. It's all the believers from the early church until today who have placed their faith in Christ, which again, I think Mormons would throw a flag at because the premise of Mormonism is that all these churches got it wrong after the first century church, they all got it wrong. So basically, the church, a Mormon would say, correct me if I'm wrong, the church didn't really exist for 1700 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Mormon church teaches that there was a great apostasy, that the truth was lost from the earth, that God's power, his priesthood power was lost from the earth, and that all of these other denominations were an abomination in the sight of God. And we can get into what Joseph said there, but basically, yeah, the belief from the Mormon church is that that the capital C church that you're referring to was not Jesus's church. But again, it's because Mormons are defining this as like there's one organization, there's one institution that's got it all right.
And I found this confusing actually coming out of Mormonism because you're kind of taught in Mormonism that, well Joseph Smith supposedly asked like which of all the denominations is the true one? He asked that to God, and God told him none of them were the true church. So I guess I'm kind of just walking through this and I'm seeing it now and I'm thinking, oh, that's might be part of why I had a harder time coming out, because I was thinking all he was literally, I saw each denomination as being in friction with one another. So as a Mormon, I saw it as like the Baptists versus Protestants versus evangelicals. I thought they all had discontent between their teachings.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I should explain that for a second for our Mormon listeners. So different denominations have different distinctives. It's not that they, like the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, they believe the same basic things, but they maybe have a little different church polity, let's say the way they vote as a church, which isn't a biblical thing. There's freedom as far as that is concerned. Or maybe they have different styles. So some churches have different, if you guys went to, I know that you don't have any experience, and probably a lot of our listeners don't. You don't have any experience in Christian churches. But if you guys were to go to, you know, the Baptist church down the road, the message would be pretty similar, but the feel might be different. Whereas probably in Mormonism, my guess is when you move and change wards, correct me if I'm wrong, it probably still feels pretty much the same.
It's going to be identical. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Everything is going to be exactly the same. It's the same hymn book. It's the same message. Yeah. Everything's going to look and feel the same.
Well, in fact, Bo, it's interesting because you just today, I think this is the first time you've been to Alpine Church is a multi-site church. You go to the Layton campus and you tag teamed the sermon with me up at the Logan campus today. And so that was your first time, I think, attending even another campus of Alpine. Like, did that still feel like the campus you're used to? Was there was a little bit of a difference there? What do you think?
That's a good question. I loved the building because it's like an old school, you know, church building. So the acoustics were different, that's for sure. But no, I would just say that what I've loved just in general, you know, about Christian worship in a non-denominational church like Alpine is just that the worship service is so worshipful. Mm. It's not, how do I put this, like bland or dry or it's
filling.
Yeah, it fills you up. And obviously you're there just to worship Jesus. So I would say that obviously felt very familiar.
But you might, so see, if you go to another church down the road, you might act, it, you know, they might have an organ,
right?
Depending on just their style or their whoever's leading worship that day at the church. Sure. Or if you go to my daughter's church in Salt Lake, it's like our church on steroids. It's even more energetic and people are jumping around on stage. So, you know, there's freedom in terms of things like that I would call that fringe stuff. There's even freedom on the fringes of doctrine. You know, charismatic or Pentecostal churches believe in the exercise of spiritual gifts like speaking in tongues and things like that. So you might go to a Pentecostal church when you're off out of state working, Bo, and you might be actually uncomfortable at that church. Maybe it doesn't feel like your home church, but that doesn't make it wrong. If they have the fundamental beliefs, and in fact, we'll put a link to this topic on Pursue God. It's called Five Doctrines Every Christian Church Believes. So that's a good way to, you know, for people who are listening saying, okay, well then how do I know if I'm going to a church that is part of the one true capital C church, which I wouldn't even say it like that, by the way. I would just say, how do I know if I'm going to a Bible-believing church, a Christ-centered Bible-believing church? I would say there's a few things you need to pay attention to. Number one, they need to believe that the Bible is God's word. They need to take a high view of Scripture. I think churches that take a low view of Scripture get in a dangerous place, because that's where they just start letting the culture tell them what to do and what to believe. So these are like core doctrines that I would say every Christian should really evaluate if their church is biblical on these doctrines, as opposed to like the fringe stuff where there's freedom for a Pentecostal church to believe one thing about the gifts and another church to maybe believe and exercise something else. So another core doctrine is that, you know, the Trinity, which we've talked about on this podcast quite a bit, that God is three in one. So Katie, I think you brought up a Wikipedia article on the LDS church and they called it a a non-Trinitarian Christian denomination. I think that's like an oxymoron, because I think the believing that in the Trinity is central to biblical Christianity. Another one is you have to believe, this is related, is you have to believe that Jesus is fully God, not like God Jr. or obviously like what Mormonism teaches, that Jesus is your older brother. And we've gotten into that a ton. Number four, I think you need to believe that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That is so fundamental. We talked about that last week, how good is good enough for God. That basic message, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that we're saved by grace through faith. If you're going to a church that doesn't believe that, or like, for example, Mormonism believes that we're saved by grace after all we can do, that's not biblical Christianity. That's not part of the capital C church. That's doctrinal error. That's not a fringe thing. That is a very, very, that's a hugely central thing. It's called soteriology. We talk about this in our systematic theology series online. It's huge to really make sure that your church, and not just your church, but you individually, believe what the Bible teaches about that fourth one. And then the fifth one that we talk about on that topic online, the five doctrines every Christian believes, is that there's life after death. So this basic idea of resurrection and all that stuff. I would say that Mormons get one out of those five things biblical. And even the way Mormons talk about life after death, it's not biblical, but at least they believe in the resurrection. So actually they get zero out of five right. And for that reason, here's my final answer. For that reason, Mormonism is not included in the one true church. Mormonism is not a part of the capital C church. I mean, Bo, Katie, am I being too harsh here? Or what would you say to that?
I mean, look, the words of the founder of Mormonism, he said that all of the denominations were an abomination in the sight of the Lord, and that this is the one and only true church on the face of the earth. So no, I think, you know, dyed in the wool Mormons wouldn't disagree with you here. I think they would just disagree. They would agree with you here in terms of, yeah, they're not part of that capital C church you're referring to. But the take is that, well, you're not part of the one true church. We are as Mormons, right? Like that's the line in the sand for Mormons. That's why they send, you know, thousands and thousands of missionaries out every year to right. go talk to other Christians, is to convert them to Mormonism, because they believe it's the one and only true church. So I don't think any Mormon's going to have an issue or take issue with what you're saying right now, outside of them saying, well, no, we are the capital C church. You're
right. Not. Right. And again, I can respect a Mormon who says that. Here's what I have a hard time with, and I'm seeing more and more Mormons who say this. They're like universalists, where they say Mormons are just another denomination. That is so hard for me to hear, because Mormons themselves only recently started saying that, and we know that it's actually just part of their external marketing. We know that that's not what they really truly believe. Now, maybe the person saying that to me really believes that, because they're not really thinking deeply about it, or they don't really know what their church teaches. But either Mormonism is true or biblical Christianity is true. There's not an overlap of those two things. They can't both be true. Now, obviously, on our podcast, we talk all about why we believe that biblical Christianity is true, but they can't both be true. And so I can respect someone who's listening to this saying, you know, we send missionaries because we want to convert you to our church, because this is why my wife and I moved to Utah 25 years ago. If we thought that Mormonism was part of the capital C church, we would never have come to Utah, because Utah, in that case, would be the most churched state in the whole nation. But we believe that that Mormonism is not part of the capital C church. And therefore, we came here to help people like you come to know the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. And so no, Mormonism is not included in the one true church. However, it's not included as an institution because they're 0-5 on those five things, and many other reasons. But I will say this, and let's talk about this for a second. If someone who goes to the Mormon church has trusted Jesus for salvation, then I believe that that individual is a part of the capital C church. Jesus said this, John 10:9, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. I think this is maybe what I'm trying to drive at in this whole topic. The Christian faith is about your relationship with Christ. It's not about your relationship with the church. It's not about your relationship with a prophet. It's about your relationship with Christ. And for that reason, I believe that there could be Mormons in church, in Mormon churches today in Utah or around the world, who, in spite of the doctrine that is so far afield of biblical Christianity, in spite of that, could still have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking theoretically. I just think it would be very, very rare. I mean, what would you guys say to that as people who grew up in Mormonism?
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. I think the important thing to understand in all of this is, who is Jesus? Like, answering that question of who Jesus is the most important question anybody is ever going to answer in their life, right? And Mormons get it wrong. Jesus is not your older brother. Jesus is not the brother of Lucifer. Jesus is God. Jesus is so much more than what Mormons make him out to be. Now, look, this is coming from a lifelong Mormon here, right? I'm not trying to bash what Mormons believe in. As a Mormon, I thought it was beautiful what we believed about Jesus, that he was willing to come to earth to bleed and die, to live a perfect life as our older brother, right? I thought that was beautiful. But it is so much more incredible to realize that the God of the universe is the one that did that for us. And a relationship with the God of the universe is possible. That to me is the question that everybody needs to answer, is who is Jesus and do I believe? Like, that's it. And so to your point, Brian, can a Mormon answer that question and become a believer in Jesus? Yes. But also, I think you made a good point of, it'd be pretty hard given all of the, how did you put it, all of the doctrine that is so far afoot from biblical Christianity. And look, for me, I mean, it was cloudy, right? I really did my best to study the Bible. I did my best to answer that question. I really thought that I had placed my faith in Jesus. Maybe I did. But boy, I can tell you, I've had such an awakening in the last year and a half as I've truly trusted the Jesus of the Bible. And that's what I give credit to me being part of the capital C church, to me being a believer, to me becoming a new creation. And that's what changes. So, oh man, I could get into this. So for a Mormon, you become it's all about membership in this institution, right? Like, that membership in this institution is what puts you on this path. And then you make all these promises and you do all these things and you check all these boxes and you keep all these covenants. And then Jesus is your savior and you're like good to go in heaven, right? That's not biblical Christianity. Like, biblical Christianity is not membership in an institution. It is a belief in Jesus and in what he's done for you. And when you believe, that's when you change. That's when you become a new creation. That's when God changes you from the inside out. And that's when, and we're going to get into this, but that's when you become a child of God. That's when you become adopted into God's family. And I know we're going to get into that in a second, but anyway, there's just, it's such a clear difference that to your point, I think it would be difficult, very, very difficult, but possible.
And I think it'd be difficult to stay in the church. So, I mean, we can't put it past God to reveal himself to your Mormon friends who are sitting Absolutely. There in their ward building on a Sunday morning. God can do whatever he wants and he can reveal himself to people, and they could be like, well, I don't believe what that guy just said about Jesus. I believe what I've been reading in my Bible, because they still have Bibles. So I guess that's what I'm saying, is I could see a scenario. I don't know personally of any, but I can see a scenario where someone is going to the Mormon church and actually, in spite of the doctrine, actually believes the basics about the Jesus of the Bible and makes a personal response to that inner call that the Holy Spirit gives to us, even though they maybe don't have all the details worked out or understand the Trinity or any of that stuff. Because even, I mean, how much right doctrine do you, how much doctrine do you have to have right to be saved, or how much do you, doctrine do you have to have wrong to not be saved? Those are, we could spend hours talking about those two questions. But it comes down to that verse we just read, Jesus speaking, I am the gate, those who come in through me will be saved. So anyone who comes through Jesus will be saved. It's just really hard to see someone doing that in Mormonism because of what they teach about Jesus. You know, I've got friends who say that about Catholicism, that, okay, are Catholics part of the capital C Church? They can be, absolutely, but not necessarily. It's actually not about the church you go to, even though the church you go to can either help toward it or hinder toward it. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's whether or not you're part of the capital C Church. There are people who worship in Southern Baptist churches, or even people who worship at Alpine Church, our church, who are not a part of the capital C Church. They've never actually come to Jesus to be saved. They're coming to church for some ritualistic reasons or whatever reason. So it really is not about membership in a church or even attendance in a church. I'm not trying to throw those things under the bus. It is about your relationship with Jesus Christ, your saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's really, that's what the capital C Church is all about.
It would be difficult, like you said, to stay a Mormon if you do, as an individual, embrace the Jesus of the Bible, because Mormonism does not recognize the creeds of Christians. They throw every single one of those out. Hmm. And so you're right, like, it would have to be in spite of the church. And that's why we have such a heart to minister to Mormons, is mm-hmm. because they believe they're Christian, but they want to define Christian in terms of just believing in Jesus Christ as a vague, you know, they don't believe it's vague, but it's a completely different Jesus than biblical Christians. But as a Mormon, I didn't actually know about the creeds. I had no clue. I just would have said, I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus. So I think that's why this is so important, to teach the difference and to show people with a Mormon background that there is a big difference, because as we kind of touched on at the beginning, those who leave Mormonism sometimes just say, well, if this isn't true, nothing is. But there's so much more in the Bible that they don't even know is there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, something that everybody that comes to faith in or out of Mormonism with a Mormon background is going to have to wrestle with Joseph Smith, right? Like, they're going to have to wrestle with, all right, do I believe in what he said or do I not? Because if they do, then they can't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, because what Joseph taught is a different Jesus. It's a different God completely. So if you're reading the Bible right now and you realize who God is, you realize that Jesus is God, that he's our savior, that he's the God of the universe, then you can't believe in what Joseph taught. Mm. And listen, I want everybody to hear this too. Just because Joseph lied does not mean Jesus did, right? And that's just, it's so important for Mormons to hear this, because there's, like you said, Brian, at the beginning of this, there's Mormons are leaving the Mormon church in droves right now. And a lot of them are just abandoning everything. And it's just so sad, because they're so close. They're so close. So it's our hope, you know, that as people listen, that they'll open up their Bible, they'll get to know the God of the Bible that's been hidden from them in Mormonism, not purposefully, not intentionally, but doctrinally hidden from them.
You guys, let's finish this important episode by talking about the idea that the church is a family. Because I know for you and for anyone who's considering leaving Mormonism, you know, family is an idol in Mormonism. I think the biggest thing for you, I think this is true, the biggest hindrance for you, the biggest loss for you at first coming out of Mormonism into Christianity was how it would affect not just your families here, but how it would affect what you thought, how it would affect your eternal families. So speak to that for a second about the church being a family for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. That was, I think, for both of us, our biggest concern was, wait a second, what about our eternal marriage? What about the ceiling with our children? What about our extended family? Like, are we going to be a family forever? Like, that's what our goal has been this whole time. I would say more that was our goal, more so than living with God. It was to live with our family forever. Like, that was our goal. So, when we left the Mormon Church, that was a hard decision to make. Obviously it is for everybody, but you know what I realized when we found Jesus, when we came to faith, what I realized was that as you become a new creation, and I said this just a second ago, when you become a new creation, the Spirit of God lives in you. That is when you get adopted into God's family. That's when you become a child of God. So this concept of, you know, us being this little eternal family was so much smaller than what God has in store for us. Like, God wants us to be a part of his family. The God of the universe wants us to be in relationship with him forever, and to be this part of the body of Christ, to be part of his family. Like, that's just so much more beautiful and so much bigger than I ever thought of it, right? Like, I just thought of this little family tree and we're all kind of sealed together, which is awesome. And I love my Mormon family community for it, but God has such a bigger plans and such a greater thing in store. So anyway, that's just something that has been awesome for me to learn. And I think comforting for me to learn as well, because I was so myopic in my belief about what family was to me and what eternal family was.
Yeah, I think, well, I know Mormons believe that all people are children of God. Hmm. So Mormons teach that in the pre-existence, we literally are children of God. But then coming into Christianity and realizing that that's not what the Bible teaches, and realizing that when we talk about our bodies being a temple as a Mormon, it just means like treating it well, we still have to go to a temple to receive salvation. And then coming into Christianity, realizing that all of that is totally unbiblical, and realizing the true goal that God laid out for us was he adopts us as his children when we accept Jesus. And so we become, it's not about eternal little families like Bo said, but we become a family in Christ, right? We become a part of the body of Christ. And then we are also, when we accept Jesus, we become a temple because we now house the Holy Spirit. And I would never have guessed the difference between like my little Mormon self. I thought I was good. I thought I had the Holy Ghost with me most of the time. And then becoming a Christian and really actually being adopted into God's family and actually receiving the Holy Spirit. And it's just, it's incredible and it's real. And I love Ephesians 2:19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. So we didn't lose our eternal family. We gained a huge family. We gained an eternal family that's all about living with God again and living with the citizens of heaven.
And the cool, again, the cool thing about that is it's not talking about your local church. There's nothing, local church is awesome. I love the local church. It's so valuable. It's so important. I lead a local church, but the capital C church is what Ephesians 2:19 is talking about. It's talking about every person across the ages, from any language, from any nation, any color, any creed, any gender. It's talking about every person who's trusted Jesus for salvation. Those are the people that are a part of the capital C church. So the Mormon church is not the one true church, far from it. The one true church is the body of believers who have come through the gate, and Jesus is the gate. And so for anyone who's listening right now and you're saying, man, that's so different than what I grew up with in Mormonism, but it's simpler, and I want that. That's what I want. I just encourage you to keep pursuing the simple message of the Bible instead of some of the lies that I think have kept people from leaving Mormonism for generations. Hey, listeners, Pastor Brian here. If you're enjoying our podcast, would you consider becoming a donor? Our goal is that these podcasts would reach the largest audience possible. So obviously it takes money to create good podcasts, but more than that, we want to make sure to market this to the whole nation and even to the world. That's where your donation comes in. So would you consider becoming a monthly donor? And to do it, just visit pursuegod.org/donate.